ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The number of reported sex assaults across the U.S. military went down last year.
Pentagon officials said a confidential survey found a 19% drop in the number of service members who said that they experienced some type of unwanted sexual contact from the previous survey 2 years ago. Although it's the first reduction in 8 years, it still means more than 29,000 active duty service members said they had unwanted sexual contact. Still, the White House hailed the improved numbers, crediting military commanders and their leadership for bringing the numbers down. M. Nguyen, ABC News, Washington.
Inflation slowing down. The government reports its consumer price index rose 0.3% in April. In March, it went up 0.4%. Customs and Border Protection says the number of migrants intercepted at the southern border has gone down for 2 straight months now. The figure for April, the lowest since President Biden took office. This is ABC News. The heads of the National Transportation Safety Board and Federal Highway Administration went before Congress to talk about the destruction of Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge. Here's ABC's Stephen Portnoy.
Federal highway and safety officials told a House panel more needs to be done to protect bridges near ports. NTSB Chair Jennifer Homendy says current structures should be analyzed
to ensure there's adequate peer protection.
The head of the Federal Highway Administration told lawmakers he expects the Francis Scott Key Bridge to cost up to $1.9 billion to replace, a project that likely won't be completed before 2028. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
It was credited with helping transform Las Vegas into an ultra-luxury resort destination. The Mirage Hotel Casino on the Vegas Strip is closing after more than 30 years to make room for major renovations and construction on the Hard Rock Las Vegas. The Mirage closing on July 17th. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local civic media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There'll be 2 special elections in Wisconsin this year to fill vacant seats. One of them will be for state senate in Milwaukee in July. The other will be for U.S. House in northeast Wisconsin in November. The winners will replace Lena Taylor and Mike Gallagher. Governor Evers announced the dates this week. Wisconsin is waiting to see how the state Supreme Court rules on allowing absentee ballot drop boxes this year. Janelle Ludwig Krause is a voting advocate in western Wisconsin. She says all kinds of voters vote absentee.
Farmers who need to be on their field when the conditions are dry, it makes it possible for parents that are juggling a million things to cast a ballot, for people with disabilities, for elderly people.
Opponents say it's too easy to use drop boxes to commit voter fraud. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers sink the Pirates. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It kind of looked like Bambi's Bombers from 40 years ago. 5 home runs from 5 different Brewer players on the way to a 10-2 win over Pittsburgh at American Family Field in front of nearly 33,000 fans. 24-year-old lefty Robert Gasser becoming the first pitcher in Brewers franchise history to begin his MLB career 2-0.
I was able to use the whole arsenal today, so went to the cutter, went to the changeup, got some outs on them, so I was really happy to be able to use those and with everything else.
Browns.
The NFL schedules are out, and the Packers with five games in prime time. The bye week is in week 10. They finish the season on the road against the Vikings and at home against the Bears. Doug Gottlieb is the new head basketball coach at UW Green Bay and admits he's off to a late start recruiting new players.
Is it late? Sure, but being late is a lot worse if you're at Kentucky or Arkansas or even Wyoming. That's a lot harder late at that level than is this level.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear to partly cloudy skies here in the overnight. And by sunrise, temperatures in the mid and upper 40s will have a light east to northeast wind. Our best chance of showers and storms will be on Thursday, partly sunny. Afternoon highs near the 70-degree mark. Right now, it's 48.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk all things sports balls with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot at 11:50. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff coming to you from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, lots of things coming up on the show today. Next hour, we're going to talk to the co-founder and executive director of Courage MKE. Brad Schlakowski is going to be joining us. They have a gala that's coming up that's very, very popular. Mm-hmm. And it is all to support our LGBTQ youth.
Correct.
In the Milwaukee area. So that is coming up at 11:06. And then every Wednesday at 11:33, Dr. Laura Hanks joins us for a public cervix announcement. You can email your questions if you have a health-related question for Dr. Hanks at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. In case you want to stick around.
Yeah.
Coming up at 10:50.
Yeah.
Right before we have the 11 o'clock news.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be debuting a new attack ad. It's ready.
Oh, it dropped. You got the call from Shadowy Figures.
Yes, I got the drop this morning as I was leaving for work. I'll explain it.
Oh, I can't wait to hear the story.
Yeah, and how that landed in my lap. But yes, a new attack ad is out, so we will be sharing that with you coming up at 10:50. Completely legitimate and totally real.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really vicious.
We would report as total and real journalists, nothing less Jane Matinair.
Of course. We're going to start off, though, and I am genuinely curious on your suggestions. So President Biden is going to be debating the former President Donald Trump after President Biden issued a challenge on this morning on what used to be Twitter. Calvin, play that little clip, please.
Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020. Since then, he hadn't shown up for debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
Ooh, little shot there.
Spicy Brandon.
Yes, a little shot there about Trump being in court, except on Wednesdays. Donald Trump has accepted.
Of course he has. He has no choice.
Here is my question to you, though. What changes should be made to make it actually worthwhile for people to watch this debate?
Mm, yeah.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, what used to be Twitter. What changes should they make to the presidential debate so it actually has some value?
Yeah.
Because it's all just so performative otherwise.
I mean, even you take the former president out of the equation, debates aren't that great to watch anyways, because they're agreed upon topics, agreed upon, you know, you
get 2 minutes, right?
You get 2 minutes, then then you get 30 seconds, then you get a minute. Then and it's not a true exchange of ideas. It's just following a formula. And if someone goes outside that formula, it's like, well, you're doing the thing because I'm an adult. So I think we just have a debate.
Well, I think there are some guardrails that we need to have in place, and they shouldn't be that complicated.
No.
You know, there are some pretty simple changes that could be made so that we actually get something out of this. Karina from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Karina. Thank you for joining us. What changes should we make to a presidential debate so we don't all lose our minds?
Good morning. You know, I really don't know the structure of it because lately it's looks like complete chaos. I cannot even figure out what's supposed to be there. But what I want to hear, and maybe they can do, like, you know, in the Jeopardy game, they can do a portion of how to. How do you plan actually improving education? How you improve international relationship, healthcare? Can you give me at least 3 steps how you going to do it? I don't want to hear that you're going to do it. I want to know how.
Yeah,
that's a great point, Karina. Absolutely. Thank you so much, and thank you for listening. Well, yeah, again, it goes back to these big overarching platitudes about I'll make the economy better.
Yeah, or these overarching accusations of it's worse under this person. Tony and Carmella on the live stream both agree, so I'll just post Tony's really quick here. They have to be able to cut the mics off, which I think is actually going to be part of the
plan. I believe so, yes.
And then Tony also adds, and some kind of real-time fact check. That would be amazing to have a group of fact checkers in the room. So if you say something at this point, maybe 20 minutes later, we come back saying, we did our fact check and you were actually wrong on this. Could you imagine fact checking? Because it's pretty easy to do. They come out with fact checks like minutes after debates are over now.
Well, Daniel Dale on CNN is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
As far as fact checking.
Could you imagine having a little, you know, 5-6 people at a desk in a room and just write to the moderator? It's like, so-and-so said this. This is not true. Here are all the details. And you're like, and you get called out on national television. I would love that.
I think people would watch. I think people would watch that just to see them get caught out on lies.
Yeah.
Which is why that's not good. I just don't see that happening.
No.
I think it would be a great thing, but I don't see them circling back in the middle of the debate to address that. But even if they had a scroll on the bottom of the screen with the fact checks.
But I would want the politician on that podium to know that they have told a falsity. Whether it's, I mean, if you said like, oh, you know, something rose by 14%, like actually 16%, it's like, oh, I misspoke. It was 16%. But if you say something effective, like, because of me, I am the one who saved this economy, they need to know face to face, this, you said this, this is inaccurate, period. And I want to see the politician, the person running for office, deal with that information. You're right. They'll never agree. There's only a certain kind of person who would agree to that. That's the person who knows all their facts and has got humility.
Well, and that Donald Trump would pull out.
Oh, no, he would never.
He would never agree to actually being fact-checked in real time. That would drive him crazy.
Yeah, no. That would never. I mean, the fact that his mic could be turned off is probably infuriating him right now.
But that is, let's just start there.
Yes.
And Tony and Carmella, you're both absolutely right. You get 2 minutes to respond, and then they cut your mic off.
Yeah.
And your mic stays off until it's your next turn to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So when Biden is speaking, Trump doesn't get to just interrupt him like he did last time.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's not going to stop Trump from yelling louder, trying to talk over. I mean,
let him yell.
It's all a fruitless exercise in the grand scale. A debate isn't really a debate. We're not going to watch these guys to debate their opinions. It's the spectacle. It's wrestling, essentially.
But it shouldn't be that.
I completely agree with you, but we're no longer at that point. I mean, take any primary debates. Take any primary debates. It's always just a hand slapping. You did this, and there, you know, it's like we're not watching to see them exchange ideas and see where they differ and they're the same and really kind of like, you know, exchange this. What do we think about this country and how do we ensure our freedoms and privileges? It's, I don't like you and you're dumb. And well, I can't believe you did this. And Kristi Noem shot a dog. I don't know why I said that. I just wanted to remind people that she did.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. What changes should they make to presidential debates so we, the public, actually get something out of them? Curious to hear your suggestions. Tom from L.A. Good morning, Tom. What's your suggestion? Duct tape?
Good morning, guys. first off, I think that we, the people, are hungering for a policy debate in this country. And I absolutely agree with the fact-checking. We do not need to make this into another TV show or another, you know, wrestling type of WrestleMania, you know, 150,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
We need to actually have a policy debate and take issue by issue, not the issues that benefit one or benefit the other or the ones that even benefit the media. We should be talking about child care. We should talk about health care. We should talk about how people make it when, you know, at $30,000 a year and they're only, you know, they're paying $15,000 for child care, health care, medical care, and mortgage.
Yeah.
I mean, these are the things that we should be asking about. And they should have an actual debate, like, you know, like Lincoln Douglas, where you get up there, give your speech. The other person, get up there, give your speech. Then cross-examine. I'm sure Donald Trump will be used to the cross-examination thing. I know, because he sees it in court all the time.
Boom.
But that's what we need to do. And we need to get it back into the League of Women Voters running this thing, not another NBC or ABC, Fox, you know, type of TV show. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
Take the profit out of it, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Tom. Really appreciate it.
Hope you're feeling better, buddy. You still got a little frog in that
something,
throat.
Something going on. Yeah, we had to Sue from the 414. They need to turn off their microphone when their time is up and call and fact check them. In real time, or at least have a split screen showing the facts.
Yeah.
And Travis from Greenfield texting in, the fact checks would be a great idea for those of us who can accept the facts as they are. Well, yes, there's that.
Yeah, you have to a certain amount of humility and know that you're wrong. And some of these politicians, I mean, regardless of their politics, they're not good with being told they're wrong.
Well, and I think, well, at least in one of the two people who will be on that stage, you're confronted by actual facts. You just double down on your non-facts.
Yeah, you say, like, well, that's wrong.
Yeah, I'm right, you're wrong, boom, let's move on.
I talk to the best minds. The best minds have told me I'm right. Even if that mind is my mind talking to myself in a mirror, it's the best mind in the best mirror. I'm very pretty.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. What rules should be in place for the next presidential debate? We'll take your calls. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I don't know what it is. She only knows if someone wants
her. I wonder if they want me. I only know they want me. And she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute with a couple quick thoughts about boosting your credit score. The most important thing you can do is paying your bills on time. But I've got a way you can make your payments even on timer. Each month, set up not one, but two evenly spaced automatic payments so that your credit balance is always as low as possible. You're not going to pay more. You're just paying the same amount in two smaller hits to keep the card's overall balance low. This guarantees that whenever the credit bureaus check in on how much credit you're using, they're going to see you using an almost ridiculously low amount of your credit limit. The bureaus like this, and then they bump up your credit score. So set that extra auto payment up each month, and let's give your credit score a boost. Okay, folks, that was your Work Money Minute. Go to workmoney.org for more tips or text MONEY to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Matt Nair on air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or what used to be Twitter. We are talking about the presidential debate. President Biden and former President Donald Trump have agreed to a debate. It is going to be on CNN. That was just announced this morning. And so we're taking your calls about what changes you would like to see be made to debates so that the American public can actually get something out of it. Would be nice. Bob from Stevens Point, thank you for your patience, Bob. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Just that they take your questions actually from the general public or from members of the audience. And that at the end of the answer provided, the person that posed the question is asked, did that answer your question? And to see whether or not they actually just talked around the answer or talked in vague sentences. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, who answered more questions?
Who actually addressed the question that was asked? Yeah. That's a great idea, Bob. Again, whether or not that will happen, I don't know. And I think for this one, again, this debate is going to be now June 27th on CNN. I don't believe that they're going to have an audience there.
So I think
that was one of the requests.
So it won't be a town hall unless it's submitted beforehand. But even still, they're still going to cherry pick those questions. But I mean, to get one debate out of these guys, I think an audience would only make it harder, more difficult.
Well, and that leads to they're performing for the crowd, yeah. Then, and I don't know that that's necessarily useful for us. The campaign did propose several criteria for how the debates should be structured. They should be hosted by a broadcast organization that moderated a Republican primary debate in 2016 and one that did so in the Democratic primary in 2020, so neither campaign can say the sponsoring organization is unacceptable. Moderators for the debate should be chosen by the broadcast host from among their regular personnel. So somebody who's already on staff, so nobody can say you brought in a ringer. And then another request from the Biden campaign, there should be firm time limits for answers and alternate turns to speak so that the time is evenly divided and we have an exchange of views, not a spectacle of mutual interruption.
Yeah, we got some text coming through. Ben from Richland Center says it very plainly. Debates should never have an audience. Because let's also not forget that we watch these debates and how many times does the moderator have to say, please keep your applause down. Please do not respond. Please do not clap.
Right.
And then someone listening on out of the 414 on WFHR, the time for answers should be longer so we don't have to listen to sound bites, but rather thoughtful responses. And Carmela has a novel idea that is not only cut the mics off, but turn the lights off when they're not their turn or time's up. That would cause Trump to go over. Well, I don't want to cause discomfort just to one person. I would like to cause discomfort to both of them.
Mutual discomfort.
So, yeah, I mean, honestly, like,
I don't think that's a bad idea.
No audience and only one person is in the shot and no microphone. So when we're watching, we're just seeing one person talk and then cut to another person and we see the other person talk. Now, granted, we can't help them from talking being heard on the other person's microphone.
Granted.
But we can do a lot to go there. We can, there's, the technology exists.
Well, and I think too, I think back to when Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump were debating, and the way he essentially stalked her around the stage, that, it was weird.
That was so, I mean, that goes back to the discussion we had yesterday. There were so many moments where Donald Trump should have just lost. And that was one, I mean, I was like, very, very weird. And very weird.
Very, very uncomfortable. It was very uncomfortable.
Yes.
And I'm sure that was his goal, was to make Hillary Clinton not uncomfortable because he's behind her breathing on her.
Indicative of how he feels about women in general.
And just as a reminder, and I had to look this up because I wasn't sure, but yep, I was right. Washington Post, President Trump tested positive for COVID just days before he took the stage against Joe Biden in September of 2020. And that's according to his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows.
Yeah. Because he came back from that debate, and then like the next day they said he got COVID. We were like, what?
And so he tested positive for COVID, highly contagious.
Especially in people who are older.
Especially older people. And exposed everybody on the stage. Because that's what he does.
Then we just got to get, we got to buy more bleach, get more lights, more horse dewormer.
More ivermectin. Great. His positive test, Donald Trump for the virus, September 26, 2020. Meadows account, Mark Meadows, again, his former chief of staff. This was also acknowledged by two of the former aides as well, who wanted to stay anonymous. So I just think that's reckless disregard for other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's not in the business of caring for other people. He doesn't care about other people. I mean, I'd venture to say if he got his children sick, he'd probably be like, well, what do I do? I don't want to get sick. You know what I mean? Like, he wouldn't even care that much if his children got sick because of him. He would think about how it affects him. So
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, it will be interesting to see. Again, they have agreed, at least for now. Things can always change. Who knows? Maybe someone will change their mind.
Yeah.
But CNN, June 27th, the first presidential debate. Apparently, there's going to be two.
Okay.
There will be one more before we head to the polls in November. But we had some great suggestions, and I really like Bob from Stevens Point suggestion that, and obviously there's not going to be an audience there, but even if the moderator would hold their feet to the fire a little bit, if they just keep walking around the question.
Yes.
Both sides. I want this for... Come on.
No, we deserve this. You want the job of running this country, then we deserve answers and not platitudes. And as I believe it was Travis who said it, not just talking points and sound bites.
Right. Actual policies, actual plans, like Carmela said, or Karina said too. What are you going to do to make this thing happen? So,
yeah.
All right, we will keep you posted on that. Just a reminder, new attack ad is going to debut on this very program, Matt Nair on Air, coming up at 10:50 if you want to hear that. First spin coming.
Whoa, and an announcement about the other ones as well.
Oh, yeah, that's, we do. Right. Yeah.
Oh, big news today on the Matt Nair on Air.
John from Milwaukee, very, very quickly, John. We only got about a minute left. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Yeah, I want to say I think they should have one moderator and a few people on the side that can fact check everything that's being said. And if they say something wrong, then they can repeat it back to them and ask for another answer.
That's great, John. Yep, and we've had those suggestions too.
And take away a timeout.
And they have to sit in the corner.
Yeah, exactly. There should be
What dunce hat on for, you know, something embarrassing. Okay.
I said it wrong on his hat, on the hat.
News is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The number of reported sex assaults across the U.S. military went down last year.
Pentagon officials said a confidential survey found a 19% drop in the number of service members who said they experienced some type of unwanted sexual contact from the previous survey 2 years ago. Although it's the first reduction in 8 years, it still means more than 29,000 active duty service members said they had unwanted sexual contact. Still, the White House hailed the improved numbers, crediting military commanders and their leadership for bringing the numbers down. M. Nguyen, ABC News, Washington.
Inflation slowing down. The government reports its consumer price index rose 0.3% in April. In March, it went up 0.4%. Customs and Border Protection says the number of migrants intercepted at the southern border has gone down for 2 straight months now. The figure for April, the lowest since President Biden took office. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state senators are voting to override 9 of Governor Evers' recent vetoes and accuse Democrats of playing politics with everything from PFAS cleanup to Western Wisconsin emergency health care. Senator Howard Markline.
We have urgent needs across the state. The legislature has addressed those needs and solved those problems. However, the governor put special interests and his liberal base ahead of the people of Wisconsin.
Democrats call Tuesday's session an election year gimmick. The countdown to next year's NFL draft in Green Bay is officially underway after a ceremonial handoff of hosting duties from Detroit Tuesday. Officials are expecting more than 250,000 tourists in the Fox Valley and a $90 million economic impact statewide. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Need a new movie to watch? Here's a Schwabba Mendation. Whether you're a wrestling fan or not, you might like The Iron Claw, a heartfelt story based on true events involving the Von Erich family. The film received some consideration during Oscar nomination season last year. Zac Efron gives a really good performance as Kevin Von Erich, the soft-spoken second oldest son who lost all 4 of his brothers, 3 to suicide. The brothers were all wrestlers who were pushed into the field from their domineering wrestler father. The Iron Claw is available to stream on Max. Reese Witherspoon will produce a prequel series to Legally Blonde. Elle, based on Witherspoon's character Elle Woods from the movie, will be set during Woods' high school years. Entertainment Weekly says Witherspoon's company Hello Sunshine and Amazon Prime will co-produce. A third installment of the movie franchise has been rumored for the last few years now with Mindy Kaling mentioned as the potential writer. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly clear to partly cloudy skies here in the overnight. And by sunrise, temperatures in the mid and upper 40s will have a light east to northeast wind. Our best chance of showers and storms will be on Thursday, partly sunny. Afternoon highs near the 70-degree mark. Right now, it's 48.
The Todd Alba Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mino and the Mayor.
Did you see the dumbest thing I did? Catherine, who we just love here, she runs the whole company pretty much. She brought like Blues Brothers glasses. So she wanted us all to walk in together wearing the black glasses. So we're sitting in the thing and I'm reading the program. Reach my glasses where I always carry it, put them on. It's like, holy crap, they dropped the lights. Now I can't read anything. So I take them off. I'd put my sunglasses on. How dumb is that?
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WIS. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Siskel and Ebert producer John Davies and meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins the show to discuss tick season. Should be a great show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We were talking about the announcement this morning that President Biden will be debating the former President Trump June 27th on CNN, and just reminiscing about favorite debates of the past. And I found this article that reminded me that Donald Trump had COVID when he went to one of the last debates. Yeah. And Sue, listening in the 414, reminded me as well, isn't that when Chris Christie got COVID? Yep. When they were in the room days before prepping for the debate. I think you're right, Sue. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget Herman Cain. Remember Herman Cain?
Yes, I do.
And the rallies that the former president still insisted on doing while we were in the midst of a global pandemic. And Herman Cain got COVID and he died.
Yep.
We forget things. We forget these things.
It's weird how like 4 years ago we were all, I know you were not, but I was literally locked in my house. I was not going anywhere at that point.
Right.
I think the world is never going to change. And now, when I say normal, I mean as close to normal as we can get in 2024. But you have to be reminded. That's why we do those walks down memory lane.
Absolutely. It's easy to forget.
Herman Cain, a person I diametrically opposed politically with, I was upset. I was like, he didn't have to die. He made the choice, too. He decided he wanted to do it. But, yes, we have evidence in front of it. So anyone who says things like it's not real.
It's a cold.
Then why did Herman Cain, people don't die of colds on that level in such a compact amount of time. So yeah, it just makes me angry because so soon we forget. And I include myself.
Well, we all need reminders, right?
Yeah.
We all need reminders.
Yeah.
We're going to spend a little time talking about priorities, shall we? Priorities much? Congress, this is from NBC News. From reporter Frank Thorpe V, Rebecca Kaplan, Kyle Stewart, and Ryan Riley. As Congress plans to honor law enforcement for National Police Week in Washington, the Capitol officers and other officers who defended the Capitol on January 6th of 2021 are still waiting for their permanent memorial. This is a year after the deadline Congress set for itself. It's still not done. Why is it not done?
Well, something probably has to do with the fact that this is the least active, least achieving anything Congress in U.S. history. So this doesn't surprise me. Not to mention some of the people who work in that building view the ones who attack the building in a treasonous manner as now hostages.
And patriots.
You know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, they were Antifa and the corrupt FBI.
Right.
And tons of Hunter Biden's laptops running around just taking over the country. But now they're hostages and they're freedom fighters and they're patriots and they want pardons. So I think that has something to do with it, that they don't want to scare their base voters with honoring the people who actually did stand up for that building
and
the people
Constitution.
Therein.
Yes. In the Constitution. Congress commissioned a plaque to honor the officers who responded to the attack on the Capitol that day. It was to have been completed by March of 2023, but has yet to be installed. The bill authorizing the honor required lawmakers on both sides of the aisle and both sides of the Capitol to approve it. Mm-hmm. Two Democratic sources and a Republican source say House Republicans are to blame for the holdup. Shocking.
I was going to say, shocking. Hold on while I'm totally shocked.
Republicans on a relevant committee responded to NBC News. By a spokesman for Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, says the office is working with the architect of the Capitol to get the plaque mounted, but did not give a date for when it would be installed. All you'd need, I'll come.
Yeah.
I'll come. I have a hammer. I have a level. I can install it.
I have some of those 3M double stick tapey things with the hooks on it. I
that'll can put work.
It on. Yeah, I burn like 3 or 4 of those. That'll work. Hey, promise me a lunch every day. I'll just come and hold it for people to look at. This, I knew this was going to be it. It's like, well, we still need to mount it. We need someone to mount it. There are plenty of people in D.C. right now. I'm going there in a week and a half. I'll look up some people. I'll find someone who can do the work.
Who can do that?
Yeah, I don't think it's...
Some handy person?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be real difficult. This is all about not offending that far-right base who think that what happened was right, was justified, and these people
and they were just tourists.
Just tourists who steal things and poop in other people's desks. That's what tourists and heroes do. Yeah, so that's, to me, a new level of pathetic on the fact that these individuals gave their lives and got injured trying to save that building, save the people, save our democracy, protect it. But then on the other side of the coin, it's, we got to stand up for our law enforcement. Yeah. We got to honor our law enforcement.
Oh, yeah. Back the blue.
Back the blue, except for the ones over on that building, because they didn't help me at all. This is ridiculous. It's hypocrisy.
It should be embarrassing for these lawmakers. It should. But nothing. There is no shame anymore. Nobody feels shame anymore.
And I'll throw the question. Is there anybody who works in law enforcement listening or has worked in law enforcement? You don't have to give your name. How do you feel when you see things like this? Now, you might not agree with January 6th. I don't know how you feel, but the fact that you are used in such a fashion of we want to honor you and back you and all these things, but then these individuals who died, they're the patriots. They're the heroes we always talk about. How does that feel? How does that make you feel as people who have given your vocation to law enforcement and to protect people?
Well, Michael Fanone was on Maggie's show. He was there that day. He was brutalized.
Yeah. And it was Pat's show.
Pat's show. Sorry.
I remember when we had the interview, it was pre-tape. I'm like, okay, because he does not watch his language. He is very, very vocal. And I'm like, oh, this is going to get spicy. But yes, he does not hold back. It was a very good interview. And I just don't understand it. So I just asked the question, people in law enforcement, people retired, this has to stick in your craw a little bit to be used as, you know,
as a pawn.
We must honor you, but then we won't help you or really remember you. It angers me so much.
And another important reminder, and again, this is an article from NBC News from this morning. Donald Trump is considering pardoning hundreds of the Capitol rioters because they're patriots.
Yeah.
He still is playing this new national anthem from these patriots at his rallies.
It's disgusting.
That should be so offensive.
It should be. I mean, I have a neighbor who has an American flag with a big aggressive eagle on him. Like, that's not an American flag. That's just a pizza tchotchke you bought. I mean, the Trump Bible he's selling that has the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the Bible, and the words to I'm proud to be an American, I think, in there. And it's $60. This is all for show. Just like the debate he wants to have is all for show. It's wrestling.
Priorities.
Yep. Gotta have them.
Gotta have your priorities. And you know what the big priority was for some members of the U.S. House this week?
Okay. I'm going to take a guess. They got to work early. They got that first cup of coffee and had a little bit of chit chat around the water cooler. And then they got hard at work in the well of the Congress to pass bills that protect and enhance this country and grow our freedoms and our economy, building a better future for the children.
That is not what they did.
Dang it.
I know. You were so close, though. You were so close. No, several of them went to New York so they could speak on behalf of Donald Trump, who is in court. Not over hush money. It was about falsifying business records to hide the hush money payment to Stormy Daniels. That's what this trial is about. We had Tommy Tuberville.
Yeah.
Show up.
That's a guy who really, really admires the military.
Yeah. Because he knows so much about the military. Yeah. J.D. Vance from Ohio. Also there. Crazy. And this is what he said. I was there to support a friend, recognizing that sometimes it's a little bit lonely to sit up there by yourself. I offered to, you know, come in and just maybe be a friendly face in the courtroom.
Okay.
Doesn't he have children? Doesn't Trump have a wife?
He's had three of them.
Oh. Well, why isn't number three in the courtroom with him?
To stand
by her man. And because it was just locker room talk and it's all fine. So why isn't Melania there?
For
a friendly face.
She stopped returning my calls, frankly, so I can't tell you. we mentioned it yesterday, but today I'm thinking about this. J.D. Vance, that has to sting, because J.D. Vance came out early in the days of his candidacy, early in the Trump presidency, saying, I do not like this man. He is a terrible human being. And then one day, he just changed
like
his view.
Do.
That's it.
Lindsey Graham did it after one golf game.
Yeah.
Lindsey Graham, the man who said, if we elect Donald Trump, we will be destroyed and we will deserve it.
Yeah.
And went for one game of golf with Trump in Florida and completely changed his tune.
I thought that Lindsey Graham was going to be a more vocal Mitch McConnell, because Mitch McConnell can definitely come out and smack the president down on certain issues. And that's interesting to watch. I thought Lindsey Graham was going to be like the more animated of the two. And also, I'm surprised who isn't there? Two people. Jim Jordan isn't there. I expected him to be there
because
he's vociferous in his support. And then also Tim Scott, the senator. I'm surprised because they're like, Tim Scott loves Donald Trump.
North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, Florida Representative Byron Donalds, former presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy, Florida Representative Corey Mills held a press conference outside of the trial on Tuesday, and they looked so nice. They all had matching blue blazers and red ties. I'm sure they sent a text out the night before. Make sure you wear the blue suit and the red tie. No fancy socks. We want, nothing distracting.
And make sure you love on the president, because he needs your help.
And Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, doesn't have time to get this plaque installed to honor the officers who defended our Capitol on January 6th, he had 45 minutes yesterday to stand in front of the courthouse and talk to the press. All the time in the world.
Yeah.
Priorities.
Let us never forget that this is a man who claims that his whole belief system comes from the Bible, which, Donald Trump notwithstanding, is problematic because there are some real weird things in that book. But you are a man of God, a man of Jesus, a man of Christ, a man of that sort of belief system, and you think it's okay to go to a courtroom that is trying a man for falsifying documents to pay off an adult film star because he slept with her?
While his wife was pregnant.
While his wife was pregnant, his third wife was pregnant. I make it make sense, Speaker Johnson. Make it make sense to me.
Let he who is without sin, Greg, cast the first stone.
Beautiful.
None of us can judge.
No. Oh, None I can. Can judge.
All right. Maybe they'll get something. No, they're not going to get anything done this week. I'm crazy. When we return, a new completely real and totally legitimate attack ad has dropped. We're going to debut it next. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with civic media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Don't forget your sunscreen. It's true. You should be protecting your skin year-round, even in Wisconsin. But did you know spring is actually the peak time that you're at risk for getting a sunburn? Here's why. UV rays are more intense in the spring, even before temperatures warm up. And second, it's all due to the angle of the sun. UV radiation strengthens as the sun reaches a more direct angle. This happens throughout May and into June, leading up to the summer solstice on June 21st. A good reminder to be sunny weather ready, even if there's still some springtime cool outside. So slap that sunscreen on. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, the Calvinator on the board. You can always join the show. You can call, you can text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Coming up after the 11 o'clock news, Brad Schlaikowski will be here. He is the co-founder of Courage MKE, which is an organization offering support for our LGBTQ plus youth. And they have a big gala coming up that's very, very popular, and ways that you can get involved. And then at 11:33, public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. We're going to talk about apparently olive oil is a good thing.
I'm really, if you were listening last week, we're hoping to get an update on the lice and pink eye situation.
Oh, we're going to start there.
In the Hanks household.
Yeah, unfortunately, poor Dr. Hanks.
I know.
When she joined us last week and she was doing such a good job multitasking.
Oh, my good Lord.
But she had developed pink eye and then her kid came home with lice.
Yep.
And so she was home with the munchkins. And then she sent me a picture later that day of all of them going to get treated for lice.
Yeah.
With this special shampoo
and a tonic comb.
Yeah, so we'll get all the details about that. That was an important reminder, too. I just remember the misconceptions about lice and that if you got lice, you were dirty. And you grew up in a dirty household, and that's not what it is.
Correct.
So, and if you ever have a question for Dr. Hanks, doesn't have to be OBGYN related. It can be any kind of health-related question. Jane says at civicmedia.us. And a reminder, our friend and colleague Johnny Watermelon is going to be out at the Pewaukee Farmers Market. It gets going today.
Holy cow.
I know.
Oh, my goodness.
3 to 6:30 p.m. at the Galilee Lutheran Church in Pewaukee. So stop by and see our friend and colleague Johnny Watermelon. He will be at the Pewaukee Farmers Market today and I believe every Wednesday throughout the summer. So go say hi to Johnny and
give him a high five.
I know he bought candy today.
He bought dog treats as well.
Oh,
so,
nice.
I mean, it's going to be a day. It's a lovely day out, too.
It's perfect. It's going to be perfect. Yeah. All right. As promised, we have a new attack ad that was delivered. They only buy our show, Greg, Matt and Air on Air. They don't buy anybody else's show. We'll take it.
I mean, it kind of feels like an honor now. Because
we're special?
Yeah. I mean, everyone premieres on our show. I feel like they trust you to give the people what they need to hear. But I am curious. So the first time it was dropped from a drone on your doorstep, if I'm not mistaken. The second time was the age-old garage at midnight.
Meet me in the garage, yep.
Shadowy figure smoking a cigarette. Don't smoke, kids. And then how did they give it to you this time?
Well, it's fortunate, Greg, when I was walking onto my car this morning that I was wearing my Falconer's glove.
That's right. You love falconry.
I do. So I was wearing my falconer's glove, and just as I was getting into the car, this owl, a brown spotted owl, landed on my arm with an envelope, and then I just took it.
Maybe those
and then he flew away.
Maybe those ads are coming from Hogwarts.
Could be. Could be. It's possible.
Well, I mean, however they get to you, they get to you, and I'm happy about that.
And I mean, Sure, we could ask questions about who are these people that is funding this and where did this information come from and what does it say? But I like to believe that I am emulating our own Senator Ron Johnson, who just takes things from people and then tries to pass it along to the vice president. So I think we're fine.
Well, also doing nothing about it to figure out anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing Ron Johnson's really good at. It's doing nothing.
And appearing on Fox.
And being proud of it.
Yeah, that too. All right, Calvin. Here we go. Let's play the latest completely real and totally legitimate attack ad.
Well, Wisconsin, have you had enough yet? Think about it. Senator Tammy Baldwin just keeps doing things on your behalf. Like helping lower the cost of life-saving insulin, bringing home billions for Wisconsin bridges and airports, fighting for schools, child care, clean water, and affordable health care. And never forget, Senator Tammy Baldwin has lived her entire life right here in Wisconsin. What does she know? So vote for the lake-sitting, axe-throwing California guy in November. He's a self-made millionaire. Just ask his dad. And once he's in Washington, he'll be in Wisconsin even less than he has the last couple decades. You can bank on it.
Paid for by the We Got Nothing Else Super PAC. Also, Senator Baldwin has no idea who we are and does not endorse this message.
Wow.
That really might be the most powerful one.
I'm bringing out the big guns.
My sweat is sweating right now. It's very tense.
That bank on it.
My gosh. Whoever owns that voice.
Yeah, wow.
Should have their own awards.
There should be a special category just for that sound effect.
Whoever wrote that ad, oh my gosh, just beautiful.
Nasty.
Hello, the Peabody people. I got an award nomination. That's our third ad. That's the third ad delivered to us.
That is the third ad, yeah.
Now, Jane, I got some good news.
Oh, you do?
I've compiled all of the ads that have been sent to us.
Yes.
And they are now going to be available on SoundCloud.
So people can listen to them.
If you go to Civic Media, search Civic Media, you'll look for our logo, which is a CM and a radio. You'll be able to find that as well as other ads that have been put out through Civic Media. But you'll see that it'll say Tammy Baldwin attack ad or something like that. But you'll know it when you see it. There'll be three of them. And I'll also link those all to the show.
Great. So after the show is over today, give us about an hour.
Yeah.
Go to civicmedia.us, click on Matt Nair on air, and then that will take you to our show page, mm-hmm. which has every single episode of the show. And within the great little recap that you do, Greg, you put links into articles we've talked about and guests that we've had. And so we'll include a link to those completely real, totally vicious attack ads in today's show notes.
Yeah.
If you want to take another listen.
You can also go in there, find us through your podcast distribution center of choice. And you can also subscribe to the show as a podcast. You can find those show notes there. You can download the show, subscribe to it, and it will be sent to your phone every day, twice a day.
Just like
you
get
the whole show. Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
All right. On that note, news is coming up next. Stay close. And then when we return, we're going to talk to the co-founder of Courage MKE. Keep it right here. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special edition of Thursday Tangents with Lukester. It's Luke Bathers right here. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.